Welcome to a 20-episode miniseries at the Texas Robotics Summit, hosted by our friends at Granite Defense. We dive into the evolving world of drones and robotics in public safety aviation through 20 fantastic conversations with leaders across public safety from the fire service, law enforcement, EMS operations, wildlife management, and more. We explore the challenges, advancements, and the critical role of technology in enhancing emergency services operations. A special thanks to the sponsor of the Smart Firefighting Podcast, WS Darling Company, for making this podcast possible. Enjoy the show. We're here live at the ranch, sitting alongside Chris Lester, the interim division chief and the program manager of the UAS team of Austin Travis County EMS. What's going on, Chris?
Not a much, man. Just enjoying the nice weather out here and getting to see all the new tech and do some networking.
It's right on. Yeah, I just reapplied sunscreen, I think, for the 15th time and still think I'm losing the battle.
Yeah, it's I can feel my skin just baking out here right now. It's
great. Yeah, my wife is very passionate about sun safety. Actually, she has an account called Sun Safety Sisters. Shameless plug on this pod. But yeah, wearing UPF and SPF and staying hydrated in the sun is always a good thing.
It does. It makes my job out here easier as well.
Yeah, because you're usually the guy or team that's called when someone has a health emergency and something goes wrong.
Absolutely. You know, that's our primary mission, right? Making sure everybody stays safe and healthy.
So I think most of the time when people think EMS, they think ambulances responding to scenes.
Absolutely. That's what you used to. We're what you call a third service EMS. So, you know, with inside the city itself, you got fire, you have police and EMS, EMS being third service. So we're not private. It's a city owned department, right? Just kind of like the fire department or police department. So with that, brings a lot of other things in with it besides just ambulances. We have, you know, special event teams that we have a whole area of our department that just does special events. Austin is a huge, you know, venue for large events, South by Southwest, ACL, just to name a few. Of course, Longhorn football, which, you know, good plug there for them.
It draws a few people in.
It does. So we have a lot different than most EMS, what you think of. It's just not ambulances, right? So gators, motorcycles, specialty teams, rescue teams, tactical teams, all those things are a lot different for most EMS agencies. And, you know, that helps us draw people in as well. You're just not on an ambulance all the time.
So then where, how, why, what does the story of drones tie into the EMS operations?
It started back in 2020. One of the chiefs that has retired from our department had this great idea of starting this program named Spartan, right? Started that program to help supplement our public safety role. Our partners with Austin Fire Department, Red Team, you know, they'd been active with it for a few years. We were having a lot of protests, civil unrest in Austin, and this technology was very beneficial from a command perspective, right? And how we respond and deal with situations. So we went through, got everything approved, like, you know, start this program. You know, luckily the UAS, you know, community as a whole is very welcoming to new people in those roles. So we leaned heavily on DPS, Texas DPS, Austin Fire Department, who have been doing these things for a few years. So like, hey, what works, what doesn't work, what kind of aircraft to buy, you know, all these things. Everybody goes through these trial and errors, and it's best to learn from other people's mistakes, right? And share that information so not everybody has to make the same mistakes. So we got a lot of support from them to be able to get this thing off the ground. And in return, that's what we do now. Like, we have people reach out all the time of, hey, how do you start this? Where do you begin? It seems so much. And so, you know, just kind of pay it forward.
And talk me through some of the specific use cases of how on a daily, weekly, monthly basis is your EMS team utilizing drones in terms of going out and sending people on the field, flying drones over a particular scene, capturing that data and sending it back for, you know, X, Y, and Z applications.
Yeah. So our deployment model on a daily basis, we have 7 district commanders that are responsible for different areas of the city and county. So we grabbed 2 of those, District 6 and District 7, which split the city and county east and west. So there is a full-time pilot on those vehicles 24/7 with an aircraft. So when those calls come in, search and rescue, high angle rescue, swift water rescue, missing persons, you name it, we come up with new uses for it daily. Those are automatically dispatched within our system. So whichever one is closest is heading that direction. So that's on a daily basis how that's used. We also have our special specialty teams like our community health paramedics who have drones themselves. They use them to provide overwatch while they're out in the green belt in the woods, you know, providing care to people experiencing homelessness. They're able to map out their homeless camps so they can find them once again. So many different use cases of it. And then of course we have, you know, we partner with our public safety partners, provide overwatch at festivals, make sure not only is public safety staying safe, but also, you know, general public as well. We've able to capture some really good imagery that has helped, you know, help public safety stay safe in some kind of, you know, kind of rough situations.
And you mentioned Longhorn football, but then also, I mean, I know South by Southwest is about to happen. I think starts now. It's mid-March.
Yeah, this next week is when it kicks
off. Yeah, so I know it's kind of like the center of the universe within, especially like the tech ecosystem and just a lot of different culture and music and everything. So it's an awesome event. But I'd love to hear kind of your perspective of what kind of challenges does host this planning, hosting, executing, and even cleanup. And, you know, from an EMS perspective, what kind of challenges does that present, and how has integrated technology like drones allowed you to do that more effectively?
Yeah, so, I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. It is, when these large events come in, it is an operation within inside of operation, right? So we still have our number one job of providing great medical care to everybody visiting, living inside the city of Austin, Travis County. But then you have this large event with inside of it, which a lot of times is the size of a small city. You're talking 100, 200, 300,000 people, right? So how do you balance that? So what we do, our special events team and our communications department, they're a well-oiled machine. They have things set up pretty well. And we will, if it's a downtown area, it is geofence and cordoned. So we have special set of ambulances that just respond in there. We use our motorcycles, UTVs, bike medics, and we set up kind of a filled hospital where we're able to treat people there as well. And then to avoid actually sending them out all the time to a hospital and, you know, getting the hospitals locally overrun as well. So there'll be times where we treat people on scene there inside these field hospitals for, you know, several hours. A lot of times they're able to leave at that point, go continue or go home. Sometimes they do need to still go to the hospital. So having those large crowds and geofencing an area, it makes it really difficult to get to people sometimes, right? Or finding exactly where that person is. So being able to utilize drones pop up in the sky, they're able to relay that information to us of what they're looking for, where they're at, or if they're having problems getting through traffic, we can very easily let them know, don't continue straight, there's a large crowd, take a right, make the block and come around, your patient's over there. All that imagery is being sent out to our command post to be able to monitor. The folks responding actually, you know, will get a QR code that they can scan and monitor, you know, what we're seeing from up above as well.
Well, it disrupted my train of thought a little bit and where you were going, so I apologize. But I think one note I wrote down that as you were talking about with being able to have the drone hotspot or being able to have a drone eye in the sky, being able to say, hey, go left, not right, do these things. It made me think about the concept of time and how ultimately how you can help save time in certain ways in terms of, hey, you know, go left instead of right, you know, do this instead of that. Or what are your thoughts in terms of how drones can help save time and make first responders more efficient and any other kind of use cases or examples you could think of?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we're not there quite yet on our team, but, you know, that's where I see it going is us utilizing this technology. If you ever driven in Austin, traffic is horrible. You know, I think it's that way a lot of places across the country, but especially when these big events are coming on, really horrible as well, you know, and it makes it a whole lot worse. But be able to utilize drones to deliver life-saving equipment in a timely manner besides sitting in traffic. So we give whole blood to patients, right? So shooting, stabbings, medical issues, loss of a lot of blood. Blood saves lives, right? But it is a finite resource. We can't just, every ambulance doesn't hold blood, right? So those are deployed on our command trucks and are sent to particular calls to deliver blood. Sometimes you go through traffic for 15, 20 minutes, that should have took you 5 minutes to get there and realize this person actually doesn't need this resource, right? So it'd be a lot faster, a lot better, actually save time, save money actually, to be able to have a central location where we could package that up. Hey, we know for a fact this is needed because somebody on the scene is doing an assessment and it is there in 30 seconds, 2 minutes, right? Any amount of time is faster than it takes to drive there. So being able to have a deployment model like that, to be able to bring goods, to be able to, everybody knows there's a fentanyl crisis, opiate crisis in the United States, to be able to deliver Narcan kits before an ambulance can make it to scene deliver Narcan. So whatever bystander called 911, the Narcan will be lowered to it. They're still on the phone with 911. They instruct you how to give it. That right there saves lives very quickly. So a lot of good things on the horizon, I think, between the use of drones, how we see them now, and then also eVTOLs that carry people, right? So getting a person to a spot very quickly, take more congestion off the roads, just be able to get there faster to provide what a person needs in a life safety emergency.
Yeah. And so you kind of get stuck on that with the Narcan and kind of being able to deliver different devices with the drone. Any other kind of like hardware, any kind of like payloads or accessories or kind of like things that you can do or things that you can drop or deliver that you have in your mind? I mean, you mentioned Narcan and blood and things like that, but any other kind of like dynamics with the kind of payload accessories?
Yeah, so don't laugh at this, but if it snows or ice is here in Central Texas, it gets shut down. Like, we are not built for cold ice.
I live in Chicago, so I don't have much sympathy.
Yeah, I know. I was waiting for you to start laughing at me. Like, it is, it's pretty horrible. But, like, we're just not built that way, infrastructure-wise, you know, vehicle-wise, things like that. So when this first popped up was, I think it was 2 years ago now, we had a pretty good winter storm that was for us. For y'all, it was probably called summer. Lots of ice and snow for here, right? And we do have, you know, I hate to call them mountains in Austin, but large rocky hills, people's houses are on top of them, and roadways are very, very steep to get there. So we actually did have a case where during that time, lady calls 911, husband was diabetic, they were out of their insulin. So, you know, if you have a problem, you don't know how to fix it, you call 911 and EMS is going to show up one way or another and fix it. The problem was we could not get any vehicles up the road to them, nor could we walk up that road, right? It was so steep, people would fall, slide, our UTVs couldn't make it. So we, through our community health program and our amazing docs, we were able to get the insulin that they needed from the pharmacy, attach it to the drone, fly it, and land it in their front yard so the lady could come out there, get the insulin, administer it to her husband. Everything was good. He didn't need a hospital either, right? He just needed his medicine that he normally takes.
Wow.
But was unable to get to it.
I mean, such a simple and practical use case that went from, you know, sort of a mundane thing to potentially a horrible situation to everything's okay.
Absolutely. And it never crossed my mind till that day, till that problem came up. And it's like, you know what? We have a solution.
Yeah. And so now that's an option that you...
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And every day, you know, I mean, I think everybody in this industry finds a new way to use these assets to, you know, make things better, make things safer, keep people well. They're a great tool.
And what would you say to other EMTs and other EMS departments that are thinking about, that maybe never thought about integrating drones as a tool within the tool shed and robotics as a whole? And, you know, what would be your message to them?
Yeah, I mean, it's a daunting, especially starting out. It's a lot. It's a daunting task. Like, what do I need to get? What kind of licenses? What kind of aircraft? How do we deploy them, right? And the answer for some of those things, deployment, is going to vary on the department, the size, how many pilots you have. There's a whole lot that goes into it. But, you know, start small, ask for help, and you will find the benefits of these things. You know, one case that every EMS agency across the United States, be it, you know, city funded like ourselves, or if it's, you know, privately funded and for profit, everybody wants to save lives. And one of the most common things that happens, you know, in some bad car wrecks on highways is you see proof inside the vehicle that maybe somebody else was in that vehicle, but you cannot find them. Like, they're not there. So that's a really tough situation in the middle of the night off the side of a highway when it's dark. And now you're out there searching for somebody who may not have had a seatbelt on and gets thrown from the vehicle. It's a really bad feeling to be able to clear that call and you find out the next morning that there is somebody that was there, but you just never found them. Mm. Drone, very useful that with thermal, right? Pops up, you can fly in air very quickly and pick up on heat signatures. I mean, that's an easy, easy win. You know, that helps me sleep better at night. I know it helps my medical director sleep better at night. You know, so just jump off into it. Like, just start small. Ask for help. There's plenty of help out there.
Well, I love your kind of very simple, practical use cases right there. It's just do perimeter search, check the box. Anyone there? No one's there? Cool. On to the next thing. You know, someone needs insulin. They're up a hill. You can't get to it. put some insulin on it, deliver it there. And I think that's a lot of these like very simple ways of not necessarily putting a first responder at harm's risk or getting places where first responders can't go to be able to accomplish different search and rescue tasks and different kind of day-to-day EMS delivery tasks.
Right. And one big use that we have, and we've had some big wins with it as well, with putting these two groups together, is our drone team with our RTF group, which is a task force. We have them on every weekend, and it's paramedics on a UTV or in a vehicle with police officers to respond very rapidly into situations that would normally cause an ambulance to stage, right? So because of the protection we get from law enforcement on scene with us, we're able to get in there and provide care. Having a drone feed up of this area that they're going to lets them know what kind of crowd situation they're going into. We've had, you know, personally, I've been part of that team and on that vehicle, and while responding to these things, have bottles thrown at us, you know, all kinds of things, right? We're here to help, but not everybody sees it that way. So having that information given to you or seen on a screen changes how you respond to those things. Maybe going down the street's not the best option. We should come back from the backside. There's no large crowds there. Maybe we ought to wait till we get another RTF with us to help support, right? There's all these options that you have the information to make correct and safe decisions. And that's a huge benefit.
Chris, well said. And it's exciting to hear about how you are pioneering EMS technology integration, robotic integration. And you know, I guess to me, it's just like, I don't know any other EMS departments leading in. So I guess maybe question or ask would you if, you know, if EMS departments were interested in trying to copy what you did, you know, could they reach out to you, or what would be the best way, or how should they approach that?
Absolutely. You know, we've had some reach out in the past, and I'm more than happy to assist anybody, just like the help I've been given. Like, learn from my mistakes, you know, learn from our wins. And more than happy ever to put that out there. Very easily, you can go to Google search Austin Travis County EMS. They'll have a link for PIOs and stuff. You can submit that to them. They funnel all that information to me, and I'll get back with you very quickly.
Right on. And so kind of a final thing here I've been doing is, if you had a mic drop of sorts of a favorite quote, a challenge for us, a question, or, you know, really anything. It doesn't even have to be related to the Texas Robotics Summit, but any sort of final parting thoughts you could leave us with here today.
Oh, man. Why'd you put me on the spot like that? You know, I've always had this quote since I was way, way younger. It's a octa non verba. So actions, not words. Goes a lot. It goes really well with drones and, you know, public safety as a whole, right? It's very easy to sit there and say you're going to do these things and, hey, we'll do that here in the future. We're not quite there yet. We have no use for that. But change that with actions, you know. Do what's right by, you know, yourself, the department, and the people you're out there protecting.
I put you on the spot because I think if I had asked you that before, it wouldn't have come out so pure and authentic right there, man. Dude, that was good, man. Actions, not words. I love that and appreciate everything you're doing, Chris. And look forward to continuing to follow and spotlight the amazing work that you're doing in Austin with the EMS team.
Fantastic, man. Thank you for letting me have the opportunity to sit down.
Of course. Thanks, dude. Thanks for tuning into this mini-series created at the Texas Robotics Summit, hosted by Granite Defense. Make sure to put this amazing event on your calendar for 2025. For this podcast episode, what do you like? What do you think? Drop us a comment on social media and let us know your favorite quote. Thanks for all that you do, and have a great day ahead.